Please pray with me. Lord God, may these all too human words upon my lips, as well as the ruminations within each of us, may they serve to build your body, to make up something that is more than just the individual parts. May it all be pleasing, O God, in your sight, because it is from you that it all flows. In Jesus we pray. Amen. You arrive home, and there sitting on your door sill is a box. What do you do with it? Do you open it? Do you take it back to whoever delivered it? UPS, Postal Service, FedEx? It's obviously damaged goods. Damaged goods. We sometimes look at ourselves and see damaged goods, right? Or we look at our relationships, damaged goods. Our marriages, Our families. There's that oft-repeated word, dysfunctional. We almost say it with pride. But how many of our families just don't function very well? Damaged goods. And we look at that relationship we call the church. Damaged goods? Yeah. Damaged goods. And we just read a passage from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. And you know, as I read that letter, I see a very damaged congregation, group of people. I don't know if you've read this letter before. But I mean, this is not a perfect church by any manner of means. We have some of the most magnificent passages of Scripture in this letter of Paul's. But it is written to a group of people who are anything but on top of the game. If the church there in Corinth was a box, that's what it would look like. And you'd shake it, and you'd hear broken pieces clashing together. Damaged goods. And you read this letter, and all you have to do is to turn to the chapter right before this and find that these people can't even eat together. I mean, it's from this chapter that we get those magnificent words of institution that we read often before we take communion. You know, for our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had broken, he said, you know those words. But they're woven in together of Paul's words to these people who can't even sit down at a table together and share bread. They kind of eat in their own time, and those who've got food don't share it. It's a broken church. It's a church where, if you read between the lines, it's from these chapters that we get some lines about women wearing prayer coverings and how, you know, these prayer coverings, in one part Paul talks about them as being not so much signs of submission as they are symbols of authority. But in another place, and Paul there says about how when a woman speaks in the church. She ought to be wearing one of these. And then a little bit later, he's talking about how women ought not to talk in church. And I try to kind of put those two together. And the closest I can come is that maybe there are some folks in that church who are speaking out, but whose words are not edifying. They're not building up. They're tearing apart. They're breaking. Now, granted, there's a time for breaking. Jeremiah spoke of a time for breaking. But there's also a time for putting together. And the church is supposed to be in an age of building up. I mean, that's what the church is all about. I mean, that the Apostle Paul would have to use this image speaks volumes to the brokenness of that church. Paul called these relationships, likened it to a body. And we know what happens when a body gets broken. We've got a sister here that's wearing a cast right now because she fell and she broke her arm. And we know a bit of what brokenness is about. And it hurts. It hurts deeply. Paul used this image of a body to kind of describe how God takes what is broken. I mean, here is the church. Here is the church. Whether it's the church in Corinth or the church in Long Green Valley. And it's laid upon God's doorstep. Does God send it back? Try to collect insurance off of it? Does God throw it away because after all, I mean, do you even bother to open it? Is that what God does with relationships? Does God toss it out? Apostle Paul likened the church to a body. You heard those words. They're words we turn to a lot. Words that emphasize that every part of that body, every single part of that body has a purpose given by God. Every single part is important. Every single part is worked together, but not all parts do all things. We can't be all things for all people. None of us can. We just seek to live and move together. Whether that church is expressed in this or whether that church is expressed in family, whether that church is expressed in marriage, God doesn't toss away, I don't believe. But God gives ability. God gives to us what we need every day. Now, that reading started out with talking about, you know, we didn't read the verses just before that, but, you know, it's talking about meals and everything, because the last chapter was talking about eating together and how those people weren't kind of discerning the larger picture when they were gathering together to eat. Then it talks about food offered to idols and stuff, and then it jumps into what he first started about and how nobody can say, if this spirit, this Pentecost spirit is a part of their lives, nobody can say, Jesus be damned. And likewise, nobody can say Jesus is Lord unless that spirit is in them. Now, I'm not so sure that's specifically talking about our language out there so much as it's talking about the language of the body, the language of the family of God. You know, sometimes in our language to one another and about one another, our words can have a tendency to, well, let me put it this way. I remember one person saying, "Is how we treat another person is how we treat God." And so if we are tearing down another person, perhaps we are doing the same to God. Because if we are breaking purposely another person down, degrading their gift, denying their gift, then maybe we are saying something about the giver of the gift. As Paul said, everyone is gifted in the body. Each one has a special part. A little bit later in the same chapter, Paul talked about some parts of the body we struggle to even talk about, because they're sort of unmentionable parts. Just like on our own body. I'm not going to stand up and talk to you about certain parts of my body. The same in the church. And you know, I've done some thinking about this, and how certain part times of my life I have looked at the church and thought about, well, which are the unmentionable parts of the body of Jesus Christ? And they're always somebody else. Lately I've been thinking, well, maybe those unmentionable parts are right here. You? What do you think? I mean, don't look at me and say, yeah, you're the unmentionable part, but... But look at yourself. Look in the mirror. Look at your own part in the body. Now, the important thing to say is that God gives to each one of us the ability. It may be just enough, but it is still enough. You know, can we say that, you know, it didn't mention this as a gift, you know, a spiritual gift or anything, but I would certainly put, you know, that aspect of life, the relational thing called motherhood in there. And I'm sure there are mothers who have felt at certain points in time like they haven't had it in them. They didn't have enough. But yet, strangely enough, there was enough. Same with all these other roles that we fit into in life. The Church of Jesus Christ, yeah, our families, yeah, our marriages, but it's a wonderful thing what God does with them. And I'd like to end my sermon by quoting some words of the Apostle Paul that we so often read in the bright moments. You know, we read at weddings. We read when everything is going right. But they are powerful words for when things are not going right. In fact, Paul, I have a feeling, wrote these words because there was need for these words. We need to hear them. We need to hear them over and over and over again. Because, well, do you know what I'm going to read? What? The love chapter. Do we know how to love? I'm not sure I do. But let's listen again. These words of Paul to the damaged goods. Why did I choose this image, by the way? Damaged goods. I was speaking with somebody recently who... remarried later on in life. His now wife, well, she's in a wheelchair. She's got a lot of health problems, a lot of everything. But when he asked her to marry him, she said, "Oh, you don't want to marry me. I'm damaged goods." And he said, "You're not damaged goods. You're just unclaimed goods. Claim the gifts." And what's the greatest? Listen. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And please don't hear these words as tearing down. Because, you know, as I listen to these words, yeah, I don't live up to this. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they'll come to an end. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. Remember what I said about mirrors? For now, we see in a mirror, dimly. But then, see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.